Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 123.
This week on the podcast, the Palin family's extracurriculars prove that just as a lipstick pig is still a pig, you can put lipstick on a drunk shirtless man giving the finger to everybody, but it's still a tracked Palin.
The U.S. may or may not be at war with ISIS, but it's definitely at war with itself over foreign policy semantics.
The left-wing money for schools, not for war demand takes on a bizarrely literal meaning.
America learns an important lesson, that stubbornly refusing to acknowledge a political opponent named Zephyr Teachout is a fool's errand.
And Hillary Clinton proves she's running for president by pretending to believe steak fries are a real thing.
Plus, CNN was right all along. You definitely will die of Ebola.
And much like your 13-year-old cousin, Mark Sanford breaks up with his girlfriend on Facebook.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com. Finally.
We're back. Yes.
We did it.
Yes.
We didn't do it. For a long time, we didn't do it.
Now we're doing it. That's right.
Now, I went out of town. As many of you or none of you know, I run an organization that does outreach to people who were students during the World Trade Center cleanup. And I, you know, inform them about various services that are available on the health front and stuff like that. So I was making a PSA in New York and doing other things.
Quite good. I've seen it.
Yes, Brent's seen it.
Uh-huh.
I trust Brent's opinion because it's basically making stuff like this is what he does.
Yeah.
And I don't. It was weird because it was like I took a 2-week break from my own job to do Brent's job. Yeah,
yeah, that's exactly. Yeah.
It was like a mixture of my old job in production and then Brent's job, and it didn't involve any of my current job.
Except yours was for a good cause, and
mine never is.
Never once has it been.
No. You almost at one point were working for Keith Olbermann's show.
I wrote a Keith Olbermann show. But I mean, that's it.
That didn't end up panning out in the kind of extended way that you would want, though.
No.
That was too bad. But I did get my picture taken with Jerry Nadler.
Yeah, you did.
And learned some...
Who's your height, which is was confusing to me.
I know.
Because you're a small person.
I'm a small person. He's a small person. We're all small New Yorkers.
Yeah. Well,
it just makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
Actually, no, it was... He was in the PSA that we shot, and so we shot with him. And then right after that, we were both at a press conference that had to do with the Zadroga bill, which is the bill that funds the 9/11 health program. And...
They're voting to reauthorize, right?
They are voting. They're starting to push to reauthorize it. It needs to be reauthorized before 2016.
Got it. Okay.
So they have a little time on their hands, but they're trying to push early because they don't want to mess this up.
Right.
So I was at this press conference. It was Jerry Nadler, Kristen Gillibrand, mm-hmm. and Carolyn Maloney. And, like, all of them are roughly the same height. And then de Blasio, who's, like, a giant.
Oh, really?
And they just made him hover over the rest of them creepily.
Could he
like,
not,
Pete
though?
King was there. He's, like, a normal-heighted person. He's taller than them.
Oh,
but, like,
he was there?
He was there, yeah. Well, he's a big proponent on this issue. He's, like, the Republican voice on this issue.
Well, he should be.
He's from New York.
Yeah.
He's actually been talking some sense, you know, when we've been facing large national crises.
Good.
Of the sort of, you know, where Republicans just refuse to cooperate with anyone. Not the sort where, like, people are right on the issues, but, like, the sort where people are just, like, not talking. He's been fairly reasonable on those types of issues.
Yeah, he has.
Because he's part of an entirely Democratic caucus, so he's got to pull his shit together and do something.
Yeah, exactly.
He really thrives on bipartisanship. But anyway, de Blasio was, like, 1 million feet taller than every other person there. And I was sort of, like, I almost felt a little embarrassed for him. It was just, like, he looked so tall and awkward, and he was sort of, like, hovering. He looked like he was, like... you know, an umbrella over the rest of
what
them.
What is like, he, like a normal-headed person
no,
or something?
No, he's huge.
Or what? Oh, he's really huge.
Have you never seen him stand next to somebody?
No.
Do you remember Pataki? You're not from New York State. I don't know why I'm like, oh, I'll just name all the heights of all the politicians from New York State. Pataki was the former governor of New York State, and he periodically used to stand next to Bloomberg and make Bloomberg look like a teeny tiny little person. And because Pataki was very tall.
Yeah.
And de Blasio is sort of in the height realm, not in the political realm, thankfully, but in the height realm, sort of the new Pataki. He's like 1 trillion feet tall. And it's funny because every time he stands next to another politician, he makes them look like they're my height, which is got to be embarrassing for everyone. I don't know. But this was so egregious that I was embarrassed for him. So I was like, this is going on television. These guys look like they're the height that people in politics are. And then you're up there like hovering
in the clouds.
That's not what you want to be doing. In any case, all of this leads us with no segue to the most important news story of the week.
Yes.
We've decided to lead with what counts.
Yeah, we don't care.
We don't care.
We're tired of ISIS.
We're tired of ISIS.
We've been at war for 30 years
with someone
in the Middle East at this point.
Exactly.
We don't need to talk about
Here's what's important that happened this week. The Palins got into a brawl. A full-on brawl. It involves multiple Palins.
Yep.
It involves some suspicious beginnings. No one's clear who started it, which is just as I would imagine it would be.
And a Stretch Hummer
logo. And it involves a Stretch Hummer logo. Those are the three things that it involves.
Yep.
So we don't know who started it, but we know it involved Willow Palin's ex-boyfriend.
Yes.
Who is either the cause of the brawl or the victim of the brawl, depending on which news source you heard this news from. Uh-huh. If you heard it from eyewitness Eric Thompson, who lost his job at the McKenna Brothers Paving Company, they were the ones throwing the party,
yes.
For talking to Good Morning America about this issue, then you are asked to believe that it was Track Palin's fault. If you yes. talk to Real Clear Politics' Scott Conroy's anonymous source, then it's a little bit less clear.
Yes.
But it's possible that it was instigated by the ex-boyfriend himself.
Right, trying to get into the Hummer or something right. like that,
yeah.
right?
So yeah, so that source's story goes as follows.
It's the better story.
It's the better story. Willow Palin's ex-boyfriend tries to board the Palin Stretch Hummer limo.
He said board it, which is like... That's how you get onto a Hummer Stretch limo.
You board one. It's like taking a jet. And he's stopped by Track Palin, who yes. suddenly finds himself fending
stopped
off...
in his tracks.
Tracks. Finds Zing. Himself fending off, I guess, a bunch of sympathizers with the ex-boyfriend.
I guess so.
Who all pile on. So suddenly Track Palin is fighting off four men. Four Alaskan yeah. men.
Didn't he have, like, broken ribs or something?
Yeah, no, he had, like, four broken ribs or something, too. One for each man, maybe. Anyway, Todd Palin, his father, and Sarah Palin's husband.
Yeah.
The former first man of Alaska mm-hmm. jumps in, because why not? And
he had to.
Ends up with a bloody nose.
Yeah.
Sarah Palin is there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, when I heard the story, she was not there. I'm glad she was.
I'm glad
that
she
really
was
adds
too.
Some color to it that I was hoping for. Yeah. So she stands around screaming, because that's what her responsibility is in this situation. Screaming, "Don't you know who he is? He's a vet." Referring to Track Palin's very brief stint in the military in 2008 when he served in Iraq, which he did do. Briefly. It's all the more interesting because she had just come from a speaking engagement at a charity that benefits wounded veterans. So you would think she would know how to identify who would be a good person to scream he's a vet to.
Right.
In that kind of circumstance.
Yeah. Well, he's now a wounded vet.
So true. He's a veteran of the Palin family war against people who wanted to ride in their Stretch Hummer limo. Anyway, and then there are other eyewitnesses that claim that she jumped in on the pile screaming, like, "Do you know who I am? Don't you know who we are?" That sort of thing. So we can confirm that she was using the age-old line, "Don't you know who I am?"
Oh, classic.
Which is a line that nobody who should be recognized in the world gets to use. Like, George Clooney doesn't need to scream that in a crowd.
No.
Only Sarah Palin at an Alaska barbecue, where obviously everyone knew who she was because she was at a casual barbecue
right.
with friends.
She was invited.
She was invited. She was an invited guest of a barbecue party at someone's home.
Yeah.
So everyone did know who she was. We can confirm that.
Right.
Then, okay, so Track Palin has four cracked ribs.
Yes.
And then apparently he also ended the skirmish by standing drunkenly with no shirt
in the street,
giving the finger to the other partygoers, which is a very classy thing. That
now, this is my favorite part.
Yes, this is the best part.
Because there were also reports that Bristol Palin punched the host of the party multiple times with a right hook.
But then
Bristol Palin has a good right hook.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Then Real Clear Politics' anonymous source claims that that's impossible because she's left-handed.
Oh, God.
So that happened. So the police show up, but the Palins had already left, so no
she
one was arrested.
She has two left feet. That's for sure.
We can confirm that from an unfortunate stint on
Dancing
with
the
Stars.
My mind is on Dancing with the Stars. It's premiering as we record this podcast.
I know that only because I was reading online today about some potentially suspicious internet celebrities that are part of the cast this year.
It's like a real Dancing with the Vaguely Familiars this
yeah,
season.
This is at best. This is it.
At best.
This is the one.
Yeah.
So
Leah Thompson is the most famous person on that show this season.
That's not what you want. That's not what you're looking for.
No.
Right. In any case, the police are investigating this incident. The Palins were gone by the time the police got there. Tragically, no one thought to shoot video. Alaska.
Did none of them have smartphones?
Come on.
It's a possibility.
That's a possibility, but not a likely possibility. I would guess that they were just being lazy party guests.
Probably. Well, they were drunk.
They were drunk. If you witness the Palin family get into a full family brawl...
That's what you report.
...outside of their Stretch Hummer limousine, you get your damn phone out and you start filming.
Come on.
What kind of patriots are these people? Not the right kind.
No.
Not the right kind at all.
Not the right kind at all.
In any case, that was the news this week, and now we're done. No.
Yeah.
The other news this week was terrible, because we're even more at war than we were when we went to war recently for
the But we might not... We're sort of at war. We're kind
we're
of at war.
We're in a very medium state of war.
We're definitely in a semantics war with ourselves.
That's so true.
Because...
There's a few reasons why. One is that we don't know what to call ISIS anymore. That's the beginning of the semantics war, is that we're all using different acronyms to refer to them.
Yeah, it's ISIS or ISIL.
We don't know which.
Whichever you want.
Yeah, you can use them interchangeably. Right. You can use any that you want.
Well, and ISIL stands for something highly suspect. Like, ISIS, I can identify what all of those
all of them
stand
for something that was not originally in English, and so I feel like once we picked an acronym, it was just, why not keep
just
it?
Just go with it.
Who cares?
I know.
It's not... That's not an English term in the first place. You can make up your own acronym if it's not an English term in the first place.
Right.
You translate it once and you just commit.
Yeah.
So in any case, we're calling them something.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Obama gave a speech on Wednesday about... he was calling them ISIL.
Yes, so he was.
I'm surprised anyone knew who he was talking about. Because up until then, we'd all called them ISIL.
Yeah, nobody had been calling them.
But, and we, you know, by the time you hear this, we might be calling them something new. We don't know.
Yeah.
But so, he, in this speech... while kind of doing a lot of, you know, drum beating and other types of things, kind of backhandedly admitted that they're not really a threat to us at home. They're very obsessed with nation building, and so they are a threat to the rest of the Middle
East. Right, that's what their whole thing is that, I mean, look, you can't sort of, like, write them off as a sort of, you know, I mean, they are a terrorist group.
Sure.
But, yeah, their whole thing is they're trying to build this caliphate, basically, like, which is to retake over all of the land that Muslims have... either currently occupy or did
once
occupy, like,
through.
Since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
So...
It's a crazy plan,
It's a crazy
sure.
plan. We've talked about it before, but, like, that's their end game.
Right,
it's
their end game is
not...
to
take over, like, all of that continent, basically.
They haven't really proven themselves to be, like, you know, carrying out symbolic acts of terrorism abroad in an effort to... You know, they're carrying out symbolic acts of terrorism against Americans in the Middle East.
Right.
But they're not, like, in France bombing people.
Right.
And we... That doesn't seem to be part of their plan as of yet.
Right.
So... He sort of backhandedly admitted that, but he didn't want to say it too obviously because he needed a justification for bombing them.
Yeah, exactly.
So he also...
But these days, isn't preemptive war enough of
He said, our objective is clear. We'll degrade and ultimately destroy ISIL through a comprehensive and sustained counterterrorism strategy. That's not a clear objective.
No, well, and that's
that could mean anything.
That's what all of the naysayers of this speech were sort of like...
He didn't lay out a clear objective at all.
Right.
His objective was just sort of to go and do some shit.
Right.
And then it was like, and with that objective, we're not sure when we'll have accomplished that. It's not clear when that's accomplished, when we can check that one off the list.
Yeah.
Never is the answer.
Yeah.
Never is always the answer in Iraq. We don't need to hear a speech to know that.
Yeah.
But he said that there's a possibility that they'll do airstrikes in Syria if it comes to it. You know, they've been holding off on that because Syria... theoretically has a government and people that we're allied with. It's a mess there too.
Right.
It's about as much of a mess as Iraq, basically. I mean, they've been in a civil war for years.
Yeah.
And also he asked for $500 million to ramp up our assistance to the Syrian opposition, which is always a dicey strategy.
Right.
Because as we know, you can't know who the right person to be in cahoots with over there is.
Yeah.
That's
John McCain has proved this.
John McCain, a war favorite.
Yeah.
And a lover of wars himself.
Yeah.
Has shown this to us at least once. And this is sort of an age-old problem in the Middle East anyway. And we didn't need John McCain to tell us that.
No.
I have been talking all week with my parents and everyone about how shocked I am that a lot of the time me and Brent make random observations on this podcast that come true.
Yes.
And I would guess that 85% of those observations are, if my friends in politics listen to our podcast, which they don't, would sound like folly to all of them. Like, they would just be sitting there being like, you are insane people.
Yeah.
And Brent and I always end up being right because we're just using common sense.
Yes.
There are so many common sense things that we say on this podcast that sound insane in the context of, like, the current sort of, like, media echo chamber.
Yeah.
But are, in fact, just common sense.
Yes.
That's how we could confirm for you that Christine Quinn wasn't going to be the mayor of New York City.
Right, exactly.
Months before anyone else seemed to catch on to that.
I'm going to get to one that I had previously pointed out when we get to talking about Senate races later
on. Like, these are common sense things. So... This is sort of like knowing that you can't really know who the right person to be in cahoots with in the Middle East is another kind of common sense thing.
Yes.
But I feel
like
we
pretend we know
we have definitive proof that
there's
good guys.
Because we have to give the air that we can do something
about
it. Like, we don't want to just, like, sit back and be like, well, we don't know what to do. Even though I mean, that sometimes is maybe the best answer.
That is the right answer here.
Yeah.
And I think that was sort of what most of the critics of the speech were ultimately identifying, yeah. is that he seemed really decisive about something that we shouldn't feel that decisive about.
And also, one of the things that he mentioned, I think, was they want to retrain the Iraqi army.
Oh,
and that was a thing. Like, we know how that was. I mean, that's not a thing.
That's not
like,
a thing.
You can't do that.
We've already had that plan. Here's one
thing. We've had that plan for like a decade.
When you have already had a plan for a decade and it hasn't worked out, that's a time to use common sense to say to yourself, is there something wrong with this plan?
Yes.
And usually when you step back and think that, then you can know what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
It's so simple. That's the brand of thinking Brent and I are using every day. That's how we're predicting politics correctly. And it's not rocket science.
We're not clairvoyant.
No, we're not clairvoyant. We're common sense knowers. It's madness. In any case, he ended the speech with "May God bless our troops and may God bless the United States of America," which, as The Guardian put in their alarming editorializing of this, and with those 14 words, Obama inaugurated the third Iraq war after winning the presidency on a pledge to end the second.
Shit.
They're not fucking around at The Guardian.
No.
I'm not fucking around either, though. That's sort of what it sounded like.
It did. And if that wasn't enough, then Joe Biden really brought it home for us, because he said that we will follow ISIS to the gates of hell.
Come on.
I mean,
we're not gonna. Don't follow them there.
No. Let them go.
Yeah, sure.
And then once they're there, you don't have to go with them.
If they're walking to the gates of hell, help them enter. Like, don't.
See them out.
Let's not follow them there. No. Let's stay where we are. It's fine where we are.
Yeah.
John Kerry, in his own semantics war this week, finally admitted that we were at war.
Right, because he had been calling it a very significant counterterrorism operation.
I wish he had kept calling it that. I was feeling better about it when he was... That was working. I knew it was bullshit, but it was working for me. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I'm gullible.
But it's war. He just went for it.
Yeah, he just went for it. Well, I mean, this is foolish, I think, just because if they were... they can call it counterterrorism operation, blah, blah, blah. We don't have a ton of troops on the ground or anything like that. I feel like they could have carried on with that for a while.
Yeah.
Calling it war just admits that they went and did the thing that we told them not to do.
Right.
That's like, sticking their tongue out at us.
Right. Well, and the other thing is, too, like, I feel like with so much in regards to this, like, Obama himself has, like, not wanted to be at war. Because I think that he knows that, like, A, there's no one wants to be right now just because we're over it.
And there's no winning this war.
There's no winning this war, and everybody knows that. And also, he sort of, like, came into existence by wanting to end this war. So... But I think it's interesting because, like, there's so many things like this, like calling it a very significant counterterrorism operation. There was also, they're saying that they're not sending in boots on the ground, but somebody recently pointed out, and I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. We have all of those, like, military experts over there right now. What do we think that they're doing over there?
Right.
I mean, they're boots
drinking
on the ground.
Tea.
Like, they're like, not just...
They're not
like,
tourists.
So, like, we're trying as hard as we can to, like, make this sound like we're not at war over there, but, like, we are.
We are. I think that was the right strategy, though, and now that they've abandoned that strategy, I feel more annoyed about it than I did, even though I knew I was being fucked with.
Like, exactly.
I don't want to hear them think that they're at war, because that gives license to more aggressive acts of military action, whereas when we're pretending we're not at war, there's only so much you can do when you're not at war.
Exactly.
You can't send 10,000 troops to a war to hang out.
Right.
It's, you know, you can't...
Now that we're at war, we can do any of those things.
Exactly. And that's what I worry is the reason that they finally admitted they were at war, is they're about to do some warlike things.
Yeah.
Which is where I don't... Maybe they can call the LAUSD in to help them. We have some exciting news about them later. In any case, another thing I'm sick of, besides wars, is beheadings. That's a thing that's happening now.
Upsetting.
They're happening in the Middle East, but they're also... I've read a lot of stories this week about how that's sort of like a trend that's coming back with, like, terrorism worldwide.
I don't like
people
that.
People are beheading people. Don't. It's gross. That's a gross way to kill somebody.
It is.
I don't want to be watching that on fucking social media.
No.
Like, who wants that?
I know.
Who are the people that are sitting around being like, this is fascinating?
Yeah.
It's too gross to be fascinating.
It's too gross.
And I say that as someone who can watch the surgical scenes on Grey's Anatomy.
I know, and I can't do that.
No, it's... So in any case, now a British person has been beheaded.
Yes.
By...
He was an aid worker.
Yeah.
Was abducted in Syria last year. That's where they're getting all of these people. They basically
they're just abducting foreign people in Syria,
and they've just been holding on to them. Until
and they're sometimes they're selling them to other terrorist groups. They keep getting traded around.
Yeah,
whoever feels like beheading them first. It's sort of like a really sick game of musical chairs or something.
Yeah.
So that happened, and everyone's grossed out as they should be. And then there's another hostage who was a British aid worker. Who's in that video. Who's in the video, and they also are threatening to behead him in the future.
Right.
Until what happens, though? I can't ever figure out what the end game is of threatening that.
Yeah.
Until we give them India? Like, what?
I know, exactly.
Like, what is the plan there?
Yeah, I don't know. Prime Minister...
James Cameron is all over it.
David Cameron.
God.
Avatar director James Cameron is really pissed off about...
Yes. This reminds beheadings. Him of something he learned right. while filming Titanic years ago.
Yes. he called it pure evil.
Yes,
which,
well...
I mean, he's right. But
that's correct.
Yep.
If there's one Statement thing that fact. I think we can agree, regardless of your political beliefs, is pure evil, it's grossly beheading someone on social media.
God.
That's evil to the people that you're showing it to, and to the people that you've done it to, and to yourself, because you also have to watch the person be beheaded once you're doing it. Like, nobody's winning in that situation.
No one.
Now,
at least in the face of ISIS and their beheadings and taking over the Middle East, it's great to know that Al-Qaeda is sort of a giant disaster right now.
Al-Qaeda's really, like, I feel like they don't know what to do now that they're not as famous.
I know.
And they're just, like, fucking everything up.
Right. They're, like, a bunch of, I don't know, this reminds me of, like, something that, like, Mr. Magoo would do or something,
well,
basically.
The thing because is, they go- I think they ultimately always were this inept. They just really got lucky.
Maybe. I don't know.
I feel like 9/11 was, like, a real, like, Hail Mary pass, and they just, like, really... I don't know how it happened, but they just got really lucky. I feel like this is more their speed, really.
They've just...
They hang out in caves.
I know, exactly.
Like...
Yeah. They've just opened up a new branch.
Yes.
In India.
They need to do something, because they're losing territory quickly to ISIS.
I don't like that it's called a branch.
It's like they have their own foreign office, like their State Department.
Is it like a franchise or something? Is it like a Subway? Like, what are you... The Al-Qaeda franchise?
Yeah.
Anyway, so they have a new one in India. And their first attack was last week, and it went really poorly, because they went into, where were they going?
They were in the Karachi port
Pakistan. Exactly. And they were looking for what they thought was going to be an American ship. The American ship was not there, but a Pakistani Navy ship was there, and it was ready and waiting for them, and basically just destroyed them, like, killed them, or... captured basically all of them, and like they were not able to like kill anyone.
Three of the fighters were killed and seven were arrested because they, instead of attacking an American aircraft carrier, attacked a Pakistani one by accident.
Yeah.
So that's, don't have that plan.
No. Well, they didn't.
And Pakistan's the one giving them shelter in the first place. Like, that's a
no,
they really foolish move.
Bungled that big time.
Don't. Also, I know military ships all sort of look the same, but I have to believe that American and Pakistani Navy ships look of slightly different quality.
Maybe. Unless we sold it to them.
That's true. That's a good point.
Then they might look exactly the same.
They might look exactly the same. They might have... It might be like when you see, like, decommissioned police cars in the street, and you're like...
Yeah, exactly.
I can still see the number of that car.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like that.
Yeah.
But in any case, we referenced this a second ago, but there were some very disturbing articles this week, because this was not the only one. We're going to talk about just one of these articles. But about the increasing militarization of school district police departments.
Right, because we've been talking a lot about the, you know...
Increased militarization of U.S.
Police forces in general. Obviously, because that was a big discussion after
Ferguson.
And so, you know, we talked a lot about the Department of Defense Excess Property Program, which is what, you know, sells all of their sort of, like,
their
old gear.
To,
right, exactly. So, a sort of disturbing trend, and it's actually been going on for a while, but I think we're just now sort of, like, starting to get to the bottom of it and, like... pay attention to this going on, but like a lot of school districts in California
and other states, I think there are some in Washington and Oregon or something like that.
Have they're huge school districts, so they have their own police force. Like, I think the LAUSD has something like 2,000, it was either 2 or 20. It was a lot of police officers. It wasn't two. No, I think it was like 20,000.
Yeah, it was something. I want to say something in that range.
Yeah, so they have their own police department. But they are also getting in on all of the excess program fun and games.
Right.
And they've got
crazy shit. Okay. There are six school districts discussed in this HuffPo article that sort of broke the story to us.
Yeah.
I don't know who broke it to the world, but it was broken to us by Huffington Post.
Yeah.
The Baldwin Park School District has three M16 assault rifles.
Yep.
The Kern High School District has 30 magazine pouches for M4 assault rifle ammunition. The LAUSD Police Department has 61 M16 assault rifles, 3 grenade launchers, and 1 minorization vehicle, which
it's
is
tank,
the MRAPs.
Right?
Yeah, it's a tank. That's a tank.
Yeah.
The Oakland School District has a utility truck that's a military-grade utility truck.
Yeah.
And San Diego has a mine-resistant vehicle also, or a tank.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. So LAUSD was asked about this, and they were sort of like, yeah, but what if, like, a Columbine or a Sandy Hook happens here?
Well, you don't need any of those things for that.
No. A, that's the first thing. The second thing is, that is why we have a National Guard.
Yeah.
It is not, as a local police force, you don't need to be able to handle, like, once-in-a-lifetime emergencies.
Right.
That's not your job. Your job as a school police force is to, like, make sure people aren't, like, the bullying doesn't get out of hand at, like, some high school that has freshmen and a bunch of 18-year-olds. You know, like, that your responsibility as a school police force is to sort of keep a handle on things because kids are up to shenanigans.
Right.
And maybe to prevent outsiders from coming into the school who, you know, shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
It's not to deal with a crazy emergency.
No.
You should not try to deal with a Columbine by yourself. You should call the National Guard.
Yes, absolutely.
You call in a police force who knows what to do or a military force that knows what to do.
Right.
They should have these weapons because that's what they do.
Right. But also, yes, you're absolutely right. Call the National Guard. But I guarantee you, in any of these school shooting situations that have happened,
I don't know what you're doing with a grenade launcher in that situation.
That's what I was going to say. No one from the National Guard ever thought to themselves, I could really solve all of the problems that are happening right in front of my face.
If I had a tank.
If I had a tank right now.
That's never happened.
Never happened. No one ever thought that in regards to a school shooting.
No.
God, if only the tank were here.
Right. If only we could bring more automatic weapons and the tank.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how it's happening.
No.
And I know that that police love having these toys because it's fun, but
yeah,
I can't imagine that they're properly trained in them to the degree the military is.
Yeah, we learned
that in Ferguson.
Yeah.
And then, second of all, I can't imagine that bringing this much, like, high-grade weaponry to that situation is a plan. Like, say you're in Sandy Hook.
Right.
You have a bunch of six-year-olds and then a guy who's shooting them all.
Yeah.
Is your plan to, like, launch a grenade attack?
No, that's what I mean.
Are you going to invade with a bunch of automatic weapons?
Yeah.
Not if you're not trained in how to not shoot everyone by accident while doing that.
Yeah.
This is not a plan. And this is not just happening in California. This is happening a lot in California. Too much, some might argue.
Yeah.
But it's happening in other states, too. As soon as I saw this story, I started seeing stories about it happening in other states.
Right.
And this, I feel like, let's have a line somewhere, guys.
Yeah.
It's pretty shitty that we're selling this shit to, like, the St. Louis police force.
Yes.
And just, like, telling them to have fun. Like, hanging out with...
But, like... Not to the schools.
Not to a school.
Well, and the other thing that...
A school security guards sitting around with grenade launchers and we don't know about it?
Well, and the other thing that I would like to know... I mean, like, granted, I realize that this is sort of like, you know, part of the reason why people are buying these things is because they're very cheap as part of this sort of, like, defense department. But, I mean, the California schools are pretty strapped for cash. Specifically, I know LAUSD. Like, how much do they pay for that tank?
Exactly.
Like,
could we have more school security guards on duty instead of that tank?
Right, exactly. Or, I mean, right now, there's this whole thing, I don't know if you've been following this, but, like, LAUSD is trying to get an iPad to every student in the entire district. And it's costing billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And it's over budget, and they don't know what to do. And there's been big scandals with it, like, all
right,
over
well,
the
as
place.
The, as
like,
it would be when a school district decides to purchase a giant amount of property from a private company.
Like, potentially the tank money could have
gone.
I mean, like...
Because you're certainly not going to find a use for it in the school district.
No.
Can you imagine, like, just imagine with me for a moment, your school security guard from high school, like, piloting a tank, or whatever it's called, driving a tank, I don't know what you do with a tank, like, holding an M16, the grenade launcher.
Stop telling this story.
Right?
It's not good.
Our school security guard was, like, slightly overweight, very friendly,
just
like a portly, overweight lady. Who, like, waved to us
and
signed visitors into the building.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what she was up to. That's what she should have been up to. That's what you're up to. And this is, by the way, because this isn't a school that, after 9/11, posted a sign that said, Stuyvesant is now more famous than anyone wants it to be, so make sure to have your IDs because we don't know.
That's
you
right.
know,
yeah.
Like, they basically implied that we were next. In the next Al-Qaeda attack was going to be against Stuyvesant High School. We still somehow found it sufficient to have just, like, one... random out-of-shape school security guard, like, standing in the door saying hi to everyone. That was enough.
She didn't have a grenade launcher.
No. No. Didn't need it. There was not a single time that could have come up.
Yeah.
And that was in ground zero. I mean...
Right.
I can only imagine... The LAUSD certainly doesn't have it. Also, remember when we got, like, a grenade launcher or something during the buyback program?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody
Everybody's
sold
like,
one back.
Where did this come from? Yeah.
Yeah, like, should we be bringing more of those into the world? I don't feel like we should.
No.
In any case... Very exciting election primary race happening or happened last week in New York.
And you were there.
And I was there, and it was very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, you were texting me about it.
Yeah, no. It couldn't have been a bigger deal there because people were voting. It could have been a bigger deal because more people could have voted. But
sure.
Andrew Cuomo was running again and had sort of like a come from behind crazy, you know, sudden challenge.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
From a left wing candidate named Zephyr Teachout.
God.
Native of Vermont. Not surprised.
No, not at all. She at least won the name competition.
She certainly won the name competition.
She might win any name competition.
Any at all. Unless she has a brother or sister named, like, Rainbow Teachout. Like, there's just, like, not many other ways that you could...
Yeah.
So, in any case, Zephyr Teachout, huge nobody, to the degree...
Yeah, she's like a teacher at Fordham or something.
Yeah, she's
like
just like
right?
a random
like,
she's person.
She's never done politics, really.
No,
I mean,
she's
like
a person who's, like, around and has a great name. The New York Times didn't end up endorsing in that primary because they really don't like Cuomo, and they didn't really know, you know, Zephyr Teachout was very new to the game.
They didn't think that she had enough experience for them to
endorse. Right, but they did endorse her gubernatorial, I mean, her lieutenant governor candidate.
Right, and that
and race that was a
close.
Big deal. Yeah, that race was very close.
He only lost, her lieutenant governor only lost by, I think, by like 20 points.
Well, Cuomo's is a Republican. He was running a Republican with him as a Democrat. He's also a Republican running as a Democrat, essentially. So that's that's what they were up to.
Well, that's why he lost 34% of the vote.
Exactly.
Which is huge.
So Cuomo refused to debate her at any point, which pissed everyone off.
He never said
a fucking dick move.
He never said her name until he congratulated her in his victory speech.
Yeah. What if he but I think what he was trying to avoid was, and he's not going to be able to avoid it now that they're in the general. But I mean, you remember that the last governor's primary debate they had, the gubernatorial primary debates. I mean, the gubernatorial election debates in New York State are awesome.
Yeah,
that's where the rent is too damn high. Guys, there, Howie Hawkins will be there. Like, that's a treat, always.
Yeah.
But so he refused to debate her, and because of that, and because he like tried, you know, at the last minute had to spend all this money defeating her.
Yeah.
And he outspent her
way more money
wildly. Yeah, really had to spend a lot more money than he wanted to, even though she lost. All of the major newspapers were basically like, well, that was embarrassing for Cuomo.
Yeah.
Which it was.
It was only 62 to 34.
Well, and here's what I think people need to know about that race. Because Cuomo sort of nationally has built up some liberal credibility by talking about lifestyle issues. But those are not really the sort of like bread and butter issues that you vote on the basis of. Because as I was saying to Brent yesterday, I was like, great. We have, you know, gay marriage is now a thing. Once you have that, though, like, that's not a thing that you can, like, celebrate someone for being for. That's,
well, right.
You should be for that. You don't get special, you know, you don't get some sort of special, you know, treatment. And we don't get to ignore all of your very conservative fiscal policies because you were for gay marriage. You should be for gay marriage. Like, don't be an idiot.
Right.
Like, you don't, we don't give you a pass on everything else.
No.
And so he was coming up. There was a lot of anger on the far left at him. He's sort of a dick to the far left, so that's why. But also, the big issue that no one was talking about, that he has not really addressed to the degree that people had hoped he would.
It's a huge issue in
New
York,
in New York, fracking. Yeah. And so when you look at the counties that Zephyr Teachout won outright, it is a bizarre list. Because she won a ton of upstate counties. She won certain districts in New York City.
Which is not where the lefties are.
That's not where the lefties are. That's not where, you know, that's not where the left base would be. You know, she won certain districts in New York City. She won my district in New York City, I think, and a few other, like, far left districts.
Yeah.
But she didn't win the urban areas. Cuomo won the urban areas because money talks.
Yeah.
What he didn't win was all of the places in danger of being destroyed by fracking.
Yeah.
And so the district that my parents live in upstate, which is a very conservative district. She won that with 63% of the vote. The district next to my parents' district, she won with 72.7% of the vote.
Yeah, a lot of the districts that she did win, I'm looking at these numbers here, she won.
She won by large margins.
Going away. Yeah. Like, I'm seeing, like, high 70s.
Yeah, high 70s.
High 60s.
Yeah, she won Columbia County by almost 78% of the vote. And then, also the other sort of misleading thing that the Cuomo people are not really addressing is that not all of these are conservative districts. Dutchess County and Putnam County are not conservative districts. Dutchess County is just out, it's a couple hours outside of New York City. It's a very liberal district. It's not a district that you want, you know, it's a district where there's left base. You know, there's Democratic base there. Like, these are not all districts.
Right. Well,
that,
he's a base guy.
He's a base guy.
You know, he had, like, all the sort of, like, base support in terms of, like, labor unions and sort of, like,
the,
you know,
the
big the
establishment
endorsements
guy.
And things like that.
They're the Clintons of New York State.
Yeah,
you know,
course,
the Cuomos, I mean, that's a sort of dynasty family.
He and Sandra Lee.
Exactly. I know. Ew.
I know.
Wish we could never talk about that. But in any case, it's a very interesting list of counties. It's a long list of counties.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are counties upstate that he should have won going away because the Democratic voters there are not far
left
voters.
They're more conservative. Right, exactly.
So that, and they haven't really talked about how fracking played into this vote or address that in any way. But right. I
that, well, she made it a big part of her campaign. Yes. And she has even said now that she is not going to endorse him unless he comes out and like takes a stand against fracking. So like that's how she won.
No, exactly. Upstate. And because, it's, I mean, it tells such, a very a clear story. It, yeah. I mean, the districts that are represented in this list.
Yeah, the numbers don't lie.
The numbers don't lie.
And they can't.
The geography doesn't lie.
No.
It's all. But I'm very proud of Upstate New York.
You should be.
They're usually such jerks during elections.
Right.
They're the people that like leave us with fuckers like Pataki and nonsense like that. And they're like doing the people's work now.
Yeah.
That's exciting though, because that. And, you know, I saw sort of like in my parents' district and in, you know, just sort of upstate generally, I saw an organized left start to form, which is a huge problem for someone like Cuomo down the line.
Yeah. Now, do you think that there is anything to Howard Hawkins at this point? I mean, can he siphon off enough of that 34% that did not vote for Cuomo in the.
I think.
To be a problem.
Yes.
Would that be a problem absolutely. In getting a Republican elected, though? Is that what.
Possibly. Happen. The thing is that the Republican that's running is so moderate that I think that a lot of Democrats are not going to really see the point. Yeah.
You're right.
You know, he's a little more conservative than Cuomo, but Cuomo is so far right,
right.
for a Democrat
yeah.
that and this guy is pretty far left for a Republican that it's almost like it's like, you know, it's like voting for whoever at that point doesn't really right. matter. Howie Hawkins made, you know, and if he's in the debates and if they debate this year, it's going to happen again. Howie Hawkins sounds like the most reasonable candidate for the Democrats, for Democratic voters
yeah.
that could possibly exist in a pool of crazies. And there's always a pool of crazies. He's going to sound like the only Democrat in those in that election debate. And
yeah.
in just sort of the election generally, he's well known because he's run before. The yeah. Green Party sort of has like a kind of growing share of the vote, especially on the far left. A lot of people on the far left started registering as Greens because usually right. the Democratic primaries in New York outside of New York City are not that exciting.
Well, and also on some level, I mean, you know, if all of these people, if these 34% of people who voted for Teach Out in the primary were sort of, you know, on some level, single issue fracking voters, I mean, obviously right. then a Green Party candidate
is the way to go.
Is the way to go anyway. So
and this would be, I mean, if Howie Hawkins gets like a really sizable percentage of the vote, that would be huge for the Green Party there. You know, that would be sort of ultimately a big sign that there is, you know, a sort of left-wing contingent of voters yeah. that is not to be messed with the way that Cuomo has been right. messing with them.
What I would do if I were Cuomo, and I sort of don't really know why he hasn't done this yet, is that it doesn't hurt him at all to come out against fracking. You know. Like, I just don't know
he's
why
he's a big
he just
business guy, did, though. That's why he's not
I
doing
know,
it.
No, but it's, I mean, it's like, got, he's a it, Democrat. He gets like, it doesn't hurt him. And
it gets a lot of moderate support. You know, here's the issue with fracking. A lot of moderate voters in upstate New York think it's like the solution to their financial woes because they're not mathematicians. So they don't realize that one large payout from a company doesn't right. make up for your farm not being operable anymore because the
sure.
the groundwater is contaminated.
Right.
Like, this is an issue that we're having upstate. And there you're seeing a lot of sort of exciting political things happening upstate because of this issue. But a lot of voters just like really don't understand the issue that well. And because the agricultural industry there is just, like, a mess. And it's funny, because, like, New York State, at this point, is, like, the only part of the country that has water. Like, it's a very fertile region. Like, we yeah. could be growing all of the nation's food over there at this point. We might be growing at some point. But because, you know, the way that the sort of farming, you know, the economics of the farming industry there and the dairy industry there have worked out, it's, like, you can't make a living farming anymore. So this has become, there's a larger issue here that has to do with keeping farming sustainable in New York State. And what happens is like fracking companies come in and they're like, oh, well, we'll bring jobs. And they don't say that the jobs aren't local jobs. You know, they bring right. people in for the jobs and like, oh no, we'll totally, we're going to pay you this sum of money and we won't pollute anything.
No,
we'd never pollute. That's not what fracking is about. Like that right. is all fracking is about. So,
yeah.
So there's a lot of claims that moderate voters there do support because they don't fully understand the issue. And then he's the big business guy.
Yeah.
So he supports big business is what bankrolls him. So
that's true.
You know, why not? He doesn't lose any credibility with his base. And I think he's a fool to not do it because obviously those people get motivated, you know,
right.
when they heard that there was an anti-fracking candidate running, they got out there and got a bunch of people in upstate New York to vote her in, you know, to vote for her 70% of the vote. Like That's crazy.
Yeah.
Those are the people that go out and campaign for you. So, like, yeah. you don't want to piss them off.
No.
But I think he's got a little bit of Clinton, a touch of Clinton in him.
Yeah,
he does. He doesn't want to go there. And I think he's a fool because what Clinton never had that he has is, like, a very legitimate option on the far left. Because Howie Hawkins is a very reasonable candidate when you hear him speak. He doesn't sound like a crazy left-wing wacko. He has oddly, he's like a sort of older white man who sounds like an African-American dock worker
for some reason.
Like, he's got a weird voice.
You said that.
He's got a weird accent.
It's funny.
But he sounds like a very reasonable candidate. So, this is going to be exciting, but it is a mess. And a lot of papers were saying that this destroyed his presidential ambitions,
yeah,
which is very exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
speaking of presidential ambitions,
it's time to talk about 2016.
Yes.
Because it was Harkin Steak Fry Weekend.
You know steak fries. You remember steak fries.
No.
You know? The old
Iowa
tradition.
Tradition of
that only
frying
the Harkin family seems to abide by.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it. So that was, it's the last one because no more Tom Harkin.
He could have the steak fry, though.
He could have the steak fry. I don't, they're declaring that it's the last one. I'm pretty certain.
Well,
but anyway.
Thank God, because it's not a real thing.
Anyway, but it's the first time that she was back.
Since her very embarrassing loss.
In 2008. Right. And I always forget this, and I don't know why, because I was an Edwards supporter at the time.
Yeah.
But she got third.
Third place.
We need to continue to remind people.
Guys, that was embarrassing.
That was really embarrassing.
That was
totally embarrassing.
John Edwards beat her.
That's
in
why
Iowa.
She hasn't been back.
A man who had to drop out of the race early.
Right.
Beat her in Iowa. He didn't make it through all the state primaries. By the time I tried to vote for him, he was gone.
I know, which was like weeks later.
I know, and I absentee balloted that one. I totally fucked it up because I voted for him, and then he was out by the time he got there. It was a mess.
Oh boy, disaster. But anyway, she basically announced that she was running for president.
Yeah.
I mean, because she said, "Now, when Tom Harkin called and asked me to come, I have to admit I wasn't sure what to say. I've got a few things on my mind these days. First and most importantly, Bill and I are on constant grandchild watch. I'm calling Chelsea every 5 minutes to make sure things are going all right." And then she went on and she said, "There's that other thing. It's true. I'm thinking about it."
You don't say that if you're not running for president.
No, not at all. And then she also said, "I'm here." Oh, well, then she lied and said that she was here first and foremost for the Harkins and the great candidates that you have a chance to elect.
They don't have any.
First, exactly. She doesn't know who they are.
Right. No, she's like, never heard of them.
She doesn't know who Bruce Braley is.
Yeah.
Also, he's a terrible candidate.
Most Iowans have not heard of Bruce Braley.
No, he's a Democrat.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's the worst.
He's terrible. Terrible guy.
So he's currently trying his hardest to lose to the nuttiest woman in the state.
Yeah. No,
and he's doing a bang-up job of it so far.
He's really shown himself to be a really adept loser.
Yes, exactly. So anyway, and then she closed her speech. She said, "It's really great to be back. Let's not wait another 7 years. Or let's not let another 7 years go by."
Let's, though. Right?
Yeah.
Let's.
Uh-huh.
And, like, she doesn't have anything else. Like, if she doesn't run for president, there's no other reason for her to be in Iowa right now, which annoys me because I feel like she could have just not gone to Iowa and then we still wouldn't have to know.
Yeah.
Now we know. I hate knowing.
I know.
I don't like knowing definitively. I liked when it was an option because we could talk about it.
I know.
I don't like knowing definitively at all.
Yeah.
Turns out I don't.
Well,
it's not what I was looking for.
The one thing that I will say about knowing is that once we know, then we can
start.
Then the other people can.
Then we can start. Yeah.
You know, because I saw the other person who was in Iowa is Bernie Sanders, and we're going to talk about him.
Right.
But I saw him on Meet the Press on Sunday, and he sort of did not go after her sort of like as full-throatedly as I would have preferred him to, and he just kept saying, you know, "Well, I don't know whether she's running or not, and I just know what I stand for, and I'm a champion for the middle class," or whatever, and it was just sort of like you really wanted him to just kind of
cut into her
fucking way with her, you know what I mean? And it was just sort of like,
I know, because what does he have to be scared of?
Right,
he's
exactly.
Like a million years old and a socialist.
Right.
He's done everything that the Clintons wouldn't have let anyone get away with anyway.
Right. You can't run against a person who's
not running.
Maybe not running.
Yeah.
But now you can.
But now you can.
Because she's a person who is running.
Yeah. She's in Iowa declaring her candidacy by saying she doesn't know.
The other thing that was interesting to me, and granted, they also on Meet the Press, and these were only three people. Who knows where they dug these people up? Andrea Mitchell was in Des Moines, and she was at some coffee shop. My guess is that it was probably like in the East Village sort of like hipster socialist.
It's so adorable
enclave,
that you
like,
guys
wannabe.
Have an East Village
it's
that's a hipster
it's a,
hangout.
It's a place. Right.
It's adorable.
Exactly. And she had like three youngins there who she was talking to about Clinton being there, and they were all wildly disinterested in her. And two of them were women, actually.
Yeah.
And they were all and they asked her, one of the women, about that, and she was like, "Well, I would love to see a woman elected, but I'm not going to like you know, trade in my progressive values to, like,
good for
be
her.
Supportive of, like, a woman candidate. And, like, you know, one of them was, like, you know, she's off giving speeches to Goldman Sachs and getting all of the money from Wall Street. And it's just sort of, like, you know, she hasn't really had to totally answer for those things yet. I mean, like, in the sort of just general press she kind of had and, like, in political, you know, wonks have been paying attention to those things. But like,
not with her base.
But not with her base. Like, you know, she still is polling, like, 55%, I think, to, like, Biden's 13% in the state or something like that. But, like, all people need is, like, quickly reminded of these things.
Yeah, exactly.
And then those numbers against anyone will shrink. Like, you or I could be running against her and probably pull higher.
Remembering what she stands for is the first step in remembering you don't like her.
And that's why you need to have a primary, because you need someone, you need the reminder.
Are you listening, Chuck Schumer?
Yeah, exactly.
That joker's trying to get rid of the democratic process all up and down this.
Yeah, he is.
Great nation.
That's right. Yeah.
In any case, Bernie Sanders was there on the scene to be in Iowa, hanging out, calling for political revolutions. His words, not mine. And had pretty good turnout at his events.
Yes.
You know, people
were urging him to run,
right?
Which he's going to do.
He's going
to
run. I mean, so, like, he basically said
he was, as they had him on Meet the Press this weekend as part of their Meet the Candidates segment. Like, okay. And basically,
and he'd never been on, you said, right?
He'd never been on Meet the Press before. And the only thing that sort of, like, seems like is a sticking point is whether he's going to run as a Democrat or an independent.
Right.
And I think that he sort of, like, is, I mean, obviously, if he's going to run as a Democrat, he's going to have to change his party affiliation. And also, and it sounds like that's probably what he's going to do, because, like, he pretty much said it's too hard to build, like, a 50-state infrastructure as an independent to, like, get on a ballot. And then also, like, also, how do you run? You can't, you're not in a Democratic, you know, caucus debate then at that point either if you're running as an independent.
No,
like, he has to run as a Democrat.
His purpose that he's serving in this race is only served if he runs as a Democrat.
Exactly.
He's not trying to be president. He's not going to be elected president.
No.
Sorry about it, because he'd be wonderful, even though he's a million years old. I would be happy to have him as my president, but he's not going to be president.
No.
He's serving to be a voice. You know, he's trying to pull the election left.
Yeah.
That's what his purpose is. He doesn't really serve that purpose unless he's in the primary.
Yeah.
So, go to it.
Yeah.
Be the guy. Meanwhile, speaking of people that may or may not be running for president.
I mean, this is like
name,
a real...
I know.
one right here.
Disgusting name.
Yeah. Mitt Romney? Maybe?
This happened when, I think, New York Magazine or someone recently, not recently, but like a few months ago, also sort of implied that he was thinking about running again.
Well, why not?
Don't do it, Mitt. Don't
I mean,
do it.
I think he should.
I think he should for my reasons, but, like, what an embarrassing plan for him.
I totally agree.
I mean, that's a... he's a little delusional, and so I don't see him seeing the embarrassment coming the way that I currently see it coming. He's a man who tried to iron his shirt with the iron, you know, with it on his arm in his documentary.
That.
We saw that. We know he's not got filled with common sense.
No.
So we understand how he doesn't see this coming.
Yeah.
But you'll embarrass yourself.
You'll
it would
embarrass
be embarrassing yourself. Even for you to declare.
You know what? The more I think about this, though, the more I think about if there's, you know, Mitt Romney obviously is dying to be president. He's ran twice.
Yeah.
But having seen that Mitt documentary and then also just sort of like all of the things that like you read about the sort of like family dynamic, I think the only person who wants to be president more than Mitt Romney is Ann Romney.
Yeah.
so
true.
He may end up having to run if he wants to keep his marriage.
That's true.
Where most wives would be like, please don't do that again.
Yeah. No, I think she's in her element.
Yeah.
She loves a good run for president.
she does. Anyway, but he was on some the Hugh Hewitt show.
That sounds fake.
Sounds awful. Like, oh God. I can only imagine what happens on there. But he was on there and was asked about running for president and declaratively said that he was not going to run for president. And then right after he said that, he said, but circumstances can change.
Right.
Which, in this day and age, is
that's
like basically the same.
A declaration that you're running for president.
Yeah. Because you have to say that you're not running.
Oh God, Mitt.
Yeah.
You're just like... Because, again, I feel like there's going to be a pool of crackpots running.
Well, that's
He's going to seem like the most reasonable choice again, because there's not any reasonable choices currently.
Well, that's the
thing.
He
could very easily become the candidate again.
That's it.
But then he's the guy, again, who's going to have to figure out how to not talk like a rich asshole to everyone.
Right.
Which he can't do.
Here's what scares me, though.
He learned from last time?
Well, he learned from last time. I also think that with Obama's...
These people don't learn from last
time. Well, Obama's approval ratings are terrible, so
right.
I think
he brought us to war.
He's already been out talking about, like, how he was quoted recently, like, and I think we talked about it on here, like, how he said, even I didn't think Obama's second term was going to be this bad, basically. You know what I mean? I think he sort of, like, has that old line that, like, Hillary was quoting for a really long time about, like, you know, it takes a Clinton to clean up after a Bush. You know? I mean, like, he sort of, like, has that sort of, like, whole angle that he can go with. And the other thing that is worrisome to me about him is that what on earth is the difference between him and Hillary Clinton?
Well, that worries me.
That's a problem.
That's a real problem. That's the way, what I think the weakness, that's her weakness, not his.
No, I know. But I mean, like, I think he easily, that, he has a better chance that, of winning against someone like Clinton because
that puts her sort of like in a position where she's going to have to move left, which I don't think would be the worst thing in the world if she's going to run. I just think Hillary Clinton, at the very least, like, is a person who, like, that we know wasn't always, like, a wealthy asshole.
That's true.
She recently has had some issues in that area.
Right. We can't point to a time when Mitt Romney was not.
We don't, and he can't either, is a problem. Like, he's a guy who's walking around, you know, who hates 53% of Americans, right, who has openly declared so, yeah, and says, and when he's not saying things like that, like, can't sit comfortably on a stool, thinks the trees in Michigan are all the right height. Uh-huh. Like, he's just a fountain of embarrassing things.
I agree.
He's an embarrassing guy.
Right, that's why he should run.
He's a stiff, embarrassing guy who tried to iron his own shirt while it was on his body.
Yeah.
That's a thing that he did because he doesn't understand how normal people do things.
Exactly.
And that's a problem that he faces running for president. And I, as much as, you know, I think both of them, you can say, you know, people say this about Clinton all the time, that she learned from her mistakes.
Yeah.
She didn't, obviously, because she makes them again and again.
Yeah.
She's starting to make them again.
Right.
You can't learn from the kinds of mistakes she made because the mistakes had more to do with the sort of, like, organization that she ran than it did with her, you know, her policy is a problem, her alliances with Wall Street are a problem. These things are all problems that she is going to have regardless. Right. She doesn't know how to manage a staff,
I was going to say, all of those
she
could be managed.
All of those things could be managed by the right staff. She doesn't know how to do that. And I, you know, like, I always think back to, because I was talking about this with my mom, and my mom, you know, thinks Obama's a terrible disappointment, and I agree with her in most respects. But I did say to her, like, look, Obama got a healthcare reform package passed. Hillary Clinton was in charge of doing that under the Clinton administration and did not make it happen.
Yeah.
Because she compromises away so much that she can't make a compromise actually happen at the end because the people that she's compromising on behalf of aren't willing to accept the deal, yeah, when she's done with it. That is a problem that I think carried her through a loss in the, you know, like, that's the cause of her losing these elections. That's the cause of her kind of, like, not really connecting with the American people, yeah, because she's a sellout. And, like, Mitt Romney is just, like, stands for everything that the left does not care for at the moment.
Yeah.
Everything.
That's true.
You know, he was not even at that time having to deal with, like, Occupy and all of these, you know, like,
true.
This is a world where Occupy, he was running in a world where Occupy was a sort of new exciting concept. This is, like, a part of our language now.
Yeah.
That, like, don't do it, Mitt.
Yeah.
It's going to be embarrassing for you. I'm embarrassed, yeah, for you even talking about it.
Right.
Well, what a desperate move.
Well, part of the reason that he's probably is thinking about it is that because there's a recent USA Today poll that came out,
yeah,
in Iowa, and he had 30% of likely GOP caucus voters who were going to vote for him in 2016. And when he was polled, nobody else got in double digits.
I know. Here's what I think that, though. That's more a sign that the field's really weak.
Well, it is.
I mean, and especially for Iowa voters, because, you know, everyone is always acting like, I'm hearing a lot more people act like Chris Christie is a legit candidate than I have been hearing for months.
He's
and
not
like
win
he's
Iowa.
Not. He's not going to win Iowa. He's not going to win the world. He's not going to win anywhere except maybe New Jersey. I don't know that he would even win New Jersey at this point. Like, he's not a legit candidate, but people are still, like, putting him in these polls like he's a real person.
Right, exactly.
Like, and he's not especially not going to win Iowa.
Yeah.
Someone like Mitt Romney can win Iowa. I'm not worried that Mitt, right, Romney couldn't win in Iowa if he needed, right, to. You know, he's a very vanilla guy and sort of a Midwestern. Republicans in Iowa have to be very vanilla. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Like, there's the crazy ones, but there's, like, a very vanilla streak to such a,
totally,
sort of moderate, reasonable, yeah, state. Like, there's this, he has problems elsewhere, and, yes, all the rest of the candidates have problems there.
Right. Unless you're a nutty Christian.
Unless you're a nutty Christian.
Then you're fine.
Yeah, then you're good. You're all,
yeah,
set.
Because Mike Huckabee is winning when you don't pull Mitt Romney.
Well, Mike Huckabee is a better candidate for that.
I think he's a better candidate, too.
I mean, I don't know why.
We talk about that.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time.
Oh, God. The Senate race.
Oh, my God.
Race for the Senate.
Race for the Senate. That's...
It's terrible.
Disaster.
It's a disaster.
We're gonna lose. At this point, everyone's just sort of, like, given up. And now I'm hearing so many people be like, well, I don't know if it's the worst thing. Brent said that a few weeks ago.
My own parents said that. I'm really going with that. I still think that's a terrible thing. Yeah.
However, I'm hearing a lot more people say it, which worries me.
Well, they said it on Meet the Press this weekend. And that was one of the things that, like, made me think that I was, like, one of the world's leading geniuses.
In a world in which Brent and I are having to face off against each other in terms of predictions, Brent wins going away. He's a much better predictor than I am.
I don't know.
As a group, we're a good predictor.
Yes.
As a duo, we're great predictors. We are. But Brent is, like, even a little bit better than I am. So I'm worried because if he thinks this is really problematic.
Right. Well, here's the problem. They can't win.
Mm-hmm.
So
that is a problem.
Is it a strategy to stop trying?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if it is or not. I don't know the answer to that. But anyway, you know, everything is just falling apart, basically.
Right.
So, you know, Arkansas is now, that was supposedly... Could go either way.
That's now leaning Republican.
Kentucky was supposed to be close. That has gone from leans Republican to likely Republican. North Carolina is supposedly getting closer, so we might win that. But, like, I mean, I think Nate Silver has it, like, 60 or 58% now. It's gone down because of the North Carolina polling recently. But, like, as the Republicans are going to win the Senate.
Right.
It's just the map and the numbers are bad. Right now.
It's a bad situation.
It's bad.
I hear a lot of people now being like, well, this will be great for picking up seats in the next cycle, which is more important, forgetting that, like, we still have 2 years under these fools. That's a problem.
Well, and what Chuck Todd said yesterday was that Harry Reid not caring about whether they win the Senate or not is sort of, like, the big secret that, like, nobody is saying aloud, basically. So it's obviously,
well,
like, a rumbling
they currently
in Washington,
aren't-
but, like,
winning the Senate anyway.
Right, so I guess it's
it doesn't
easy,
matter.
It's easy to say that was their plan all along.
Exactly.
I guess.
Like, but also, it's easy, like, they're not able to accomplish anything in the Senate with the numbers they have anyway.
Right.
It's the last 2 years of Obama's term, so he can do whatever the fuck he wants. You know, he's probably not going to have to be forcing through a lot more nominees and things like
that. Right, exactly.
They can just sort of give up because it's been so much work to get the most minimal amount of work done.
I know, exactly.
That's
a
problem.
Yeah. So... There's one race, though, that could actually really hinge things because it's now a Republican versus an independent, which is weird, the circumstances that this happened, because there's a lot of shenanigans going on in Kansas right now. We talked about them a while ago because there was that whole thing in the governor's race. Remember, all the Republicans ended up backing the Democrat? Do you remember this?
Yes.
Because Sam Brownback, like, basically, like, shredded the budget because he came in on, like, a Tea
Kansas
Party wave.
Is like
and
a
now they
mess.
Have now they're in giant debt because they have no tax revenue coming in or whatever. So there's already, like, some craziness going on there. There's also a Senate race, and the Democrat just dropped out, weirdly. And a lot of people think that he was really pressured out by the National Party, because what's going on there is there's the Republican, who's the incumbent, and then the Democrat. And then there's also a very wealthy independent who is polling fairly well. He supported Obama, but claims to be an independent. So they're, of course, trying to paint him as, like, a big, you know, lefty. But anyway, he sort of, like, can fund himself on some level. He was already sort of polling better than the Democrat, just because Democrats don't do so hot in Kansas these days anyway. So the Democrat dropped out. So now it's a Republican versus an independent. There's not really great polling on this race now because this is all happening within
nobody
the last,
knows what's going on.
The last
and this independent has said that he'll back whatever party's in power.
Right, exactly. So
which is
what happens if it's 50-50? Like, what's he do then? I mean, that's
plan?
We don't know what his plan is.
No.
So you would think maybe he would caucus with the Democrats, but, like,
maybe not.
There's no way to know. But, like, to further compound that race and or confuse it anyway, is that the Democrat, it's too late, supposedly, to, like, have his name taken off the ballot.
Right.
So he's currently in, like, a bunch of court cases to try and get his name taken off of the ballot, which is sort of, like, a depressing state to be in, like,
God.
Once you're... Especially if you did actually get pressured to, like, leave the
that
race.
Is a
like,
mess.
Then you have to, like, go to court with the state to, like, remove your own name from a ballot. Like, that's depressing.
That's sad.
But anyway, so, like, you know, there are probably enough idiots who would just vaguely vote for a Democrat, like, not know... Like, you, do you know what I mean? Like, just show...
Yeah.
I have... sadly done this before. I mean, I don't think that it was a candidate who had dropped out of a race before, but, like, you know, I wouldn't do it, like, in a governor or a Senate race, but, like, certainly there were races where I was like, well, I don't know who these people are. I'm just going to vote for the Democrat. I mean, it's happened.
Yeah, that's...
Right?
I've done that.
Mean,
yeah, who hasn't done that?
There are probably idiots who might accidentally vote for the Democrat just because his name's on the ballot, even though he's not
running
the thing.
More confusing things have happened. There was one, the race, I think.
Well, it's how George Bush became president.
It's how George Bush became president. It's also.
People thought they were voting for Al Gore and they were voting for Pat
Buchanan. It's how Jerry Nadler got into the Congress. The guy who was running for that seat died the day before Election Day. So everyone had to vote for a dead man and just sort of hope that a good person would replace him.
Oh, God.
I mean, crazy things are happening.
Yeah.
So. God. And you can't get the message to everyone not to vote along party lines.
No, you can't.
I imagine in Kansas this will probably... Maybe this will increase voter turnout, though. That's always a good sign.
Well, it seems like there's enough wackiness going on there that maybe... Like,
people might talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk about it.
Yeah, because the governor's race is hotly contested, too. So, I mean, maybe that's all they're talking about in Kansas.
Yeah.
Who knows?
That's exciting times.
Oh, God.
Africa is not having exciting times. Oof. Because... Ebola is out of control. It's now in its fifth country. It just came to Senegal. The UN is now saying it could infect like 20,000 people.
It's already killed 2,400.
That's
too many. It's infected twice that many.
Yeah. This is the first time it's moved into cities. So that's
what's sort of like terrifying dangerous about it. Because a lot of this has happened. You know, it's been a problem in Africa for like 40 years. But, you know, it has sort of like stayed in rural and sort of, you know, like in the, you know... Not in the cities. And that's where it is now. And that's what's causing such a huge issue because...
Well, they're having, like, an independent outbreak in the Congo.
Right.
Which
is, it's just popping up places, which is not great.
Worrying.
Yeah. So, we're apparently sending over an experimental vaccine that the U.S. government developed, I think, with, like, GlaxoSmithKline or something like that. But, like, you know...
There's a drug company that's going to make some money off this if it kills
them. We don't know if that's going to work.
Well, we don't focus any research dollars on diseases that affect the developing world.
No, not at all.
That is why, I mean, I was reading an article about how one of the biggest medical delegations over there from outside of Africa is Cuban.
Oh, yeah.
Because they actually invest quite a bit of time and money into researching diseases that U.S. companies don't really have any, and European companies also don't really have any incentive to research. And they send a lot of doctors to Africa because they have too many doctors and they don't know what to do with all of them.
Yeah.
But we don't know what to do about Ebola, because we don't research Ebola.
No.
That's not what we're doing.
No. We better start.
Got to start soon.
Yeah. Well, and this is the thing. Like, I mean, one of the things that people are so... I mean, obviously, it's tragic and we want it to end. But, you know, this is... You know, viruses mutate a lot of times. Right. And so, like, there is a real concern that if this doesn't sort of, like, get stopped, that this could really, you know, I mean, be...
It could become airborne.
It could become airborne. Anywhere. That's a real concern that people are having right now. I've heard that voiced various places recently.
Yeah.
And that's not...
By scientists.
Good. Yes, exactly.
Not just by panicking civilians.
No.
It's not I've been voicing that concern for years, but no one's been listening to me.
Something that you dreamed up and then said aloud, and then I reset it on the podcast.
Right.
That's not what happened.
No.
So, the World Health Organization has its plan. They're trying to spend like $500 million on it. Also, Obama tomorrow, or today, as you're listening to this, is in Atlanta at, like, the, you know, CDC
headquarters,
and he's going to be, like, announcing a big plan as well.
Right. And hopefully, it involves approval of appropriation from Congress, so that's always dicey. But
it's $88 million. Can't they come
like
up with that?
We can find that somewhere.
I mean, I heard on the radio this morning, the Bill Gates Foundation gave $40 million.
Yeah.
So, like, if the federal government can't give twice what Bill Gates himself personally gave,
then that's
a problem.
Brewing. But so, in any case, he's trying, you know, they want to go not only send experts in the field, but also money for medication and portable hospitals.
I guarantee you some Republican asshole is going to, like, show up tomorrow and be like, how are we going to pay for it?
Yeah.
It's like, it's $80 million.
It's calm yourself.
20,000 people are dying in Africa.
Like, I feel like we have a specific responsibility towards Liberia because we created it. I feel like Liberia is often sort of a mess. That's kind of our fault because we thought it was a brilliant plan to try to, like, ship ex-slaves back to Africa, regardless of where they were from in Africa, just to, like, settle in some random part of Africa. I feel like we have a responsibility towards everyone, just to be nice. But specifically towards Liberia, I don't think it's fair of us to just leave them hanging.
I agree.
Because, their lack of infrastructure is kind of our fault.
Right. Well, and that's another reason why this is spreading so poorly. Because I think I also heard in that same story this morning on NPR that, like, in these five countries, there's, like, one physician per, like, 30,000 people or something like that. Yeah. You know, it's just, like, they don't have...
And people don't
They don't have a way themselves to fix this.
Exactly.
They don't have the doctors. They don't have the places to put these people. They don't have...
The healthcare experts that are treating it there don't have the training to, like, not spread it to themselves and others.
Oh, yeah. Like, doctors there are dying. Everyone, I think, like, the
nurses and
doctors
are, like, dying,
just died,
like,
recently.
Dropping
there,
like flies over there. So
yeah.
That's... Anyway, I'm panicking now that
someone... Yeah, well, you were panicked. You've been panicked about Ebola since before it was, like, an actual
I've been panicked
panic.
Since junior high school when I learned what it was.
Yeah, well, it's terrifying.
When I learned about both Ebola and the bubonic plague, I became immediately concerned about both of them. It turns out bubonic plague's not as big a deal these days. It does naturally appear in the desert in the Southwest. You can get it from rats or something over there. Like, people in New Mexico are having bubonic plague sometimes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. And I think Arizona, too. I mean, we narrowly escaped with our lives when we went to Arizona last. But...
Seriously.
This is much more concerning. Because Ebola has always seemed like a greater threat to me. It just seemed farther away, so I didn't have as many immediate concerns. But now I have a lot of concerns about
both. Well, yeah, it's concerning.
Yeah. I feel like people are attacking from all sides.
Yeah.
Viruses are attacking.
Yeah.
In any case...
Oh, God. Mark
we
Sanford.
We have some Mark Sanford updates, because...
He's just really the gift that keeps on giving.
Really. So he's been in a bit of a custody battle with his wife, because he ran away with his Argentine lover.
Right.
And then he was going to marry her.
Right.
And then his wife was like, actually, if you do that, I'm going to take away your custody of your kids.
Yes.
So he was kind of like, hold on.
So then he's in court with her, I think.
He's in court with her.
Isn't she saying that he has to, like, seek psychiatric help or something like that?
Yeah.
Like, she's
something
not
hilarious.
Fucking around with him.
She's not having any of it.
At all.
But so in any case, she apparently found out he was engaged to the Argentine on Facebook.
Yes.
The place that we also probably found out about it from.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I guess, started... Her threats kind of took on a life of their own.
Yes.
So then, him and the Argentine decided not to marry. And then he posted, like, a 2,400-word Facebook post...
Yeah.
...going into detail about why.
Why they weren't going... Why
so
they were calling off their engagement.
Pathetic.
Yeah.
So, in any case, now Mark Sanford and the Argentine... I think her name is...
I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, it's something.
I should have put it in here, but I sort of, like,
didn't care.
Figure anybody would care.
No, exactly. I've been calling her the Argentine, because I think that sounds
it.
Like a dramatic
Let's
way
call
to
her
say.
The Argentine whore.
The Argentine whore. But, in any case, they are now not planning to get married.
Or
their
not.
Engagement has been called off specifically over these threats of losing custody of his kids.
And it happened on Facebook.
And it's all happening on Facebook.
Like, that can't...
That can't be your plan.
Don't let that be the case.
No. Cancel your Facebook account. Well, he's... Though the gift that keeps on giving to the Republicans as well, because he never gets knocked down.
No, he doesn't.
He's a guy who went and disappeared literally from the
state.
Said
he was going to hike the Appalachian Trail.
Said he was going to hike the Appalachian Trail and went to Argentina.
Right.
Like,
to get a mistress.
Lied to his constituents about where he was to hang out with his mistress.
But you know why they love him.
Still got reelected to Congress.
Because Jesus.
Jesus, because of Jesus, yeah.
Because of Jesus.
Jesus knows,
yeah,
or doesn't know.
He asked for forgiveness.
Yeah, and... Jesus,
That's
being
it.
A person who has no common sense, evidently, was just like, okay, cool. And we leave you with...
A random one, but a good one.
A great story of political retribution in
Austria. In
Austria. A place where you can only imagine things are already hilarious.
Yes.
So, there are regional elections there next week, on September 21st. And the Social Democratic Party, which is the left-wing party there, ordered 20,000, like,
garden gnomes
to sort of act as, like, lawn signs. Like, they were supposed to be, like, decorating people's lawns, and you'd be like, oh, and they were calling them coolmen.
Coolmen.
I don't know what that means.
They have sunglasses.
Oh, and they have sunglasses. Well, they're
And
cool.
And they hold campaign signs.
Right, and they're sort of the yard sign that the Social Democrats there are using.
Cute little gnomes.
Yeah, cute little
sunglasses.
Gnomes. Apparently, 400 of them disappeared overnight one night recently. And so they started claiming that their opponents stole the gnomes.
Drama.
So the opposition party denies this.
Obviously.
Which is what you would do.
Yeah.
And then claims that the people who are trying to blame them for this are no better than the gnome thieves themselves.
Gosh.
But then the Social Democrats were like, okay, but to steal 400 gnomes in one night, you would need an organized effort.
Right.
You can't just go steal one person to do that.
You need multiple trucks.
Right.
Like, you have to, like, have a way to, like, get rid of these gnomes.
That involved a plan. A large plan. A plan that perhaps only a political party could have been capable of carrying out.
Also, mysteriously, in the gnome's place. This is really where it's at. Yeah. This is the proof.
Yes.
Yeah. This is the, you know,
it's in the pudding.
What do you call, like, the... Oh, this is the smoking gun.
Yeah, this is what this.
In place of the garden gnomes are campaign signs for the opposition party.
So either one very industrious, independent opposition party supporter went around to 400 different properties in one night and stole all of their garden gnomes and replaced them with opposition party signs.
That didn't happen.
Or the opposition party is stealing garden gnomes out of people's gardens.
That's
cute little garden gnomes with sunglasses. And
cool men.
And the cool men. And replacing them with their dumb signs that don't have any garden gnomes at all.
No.
Like, A... Come up with something as cute as the garden gnomes if you're playing that game.
How has nobody thought of that here? That's genius.
I mean,
genius.
That's genius. That
Come
is
on.
As genius as it gets. Yeah. All we've thought of here is those dumb flamingos that people put in their front yard where you're, and you gotta like give to charity and like move the flamingos. It's a pain.
Yeah.
That's not a nice thing to do to your neighbors at all.
No.
It's like the ice bucket challenge, but like
yeah.
the sort of rural version.
Are you following the gratitude challenge on Facebook?
Yes. I'm not
happily. Another challenge I'm not doing.
The ice bucket challenge was annoying in and of itself, but it's especially annoying that it spawned a lot of similar challenges.
I'm not
going to
be
part... This shouldn't be a plan. We shouldn't just keep on with these dumb Facebook challenges.
No, I'm not partaking of any of them.
No. First of all, I don't know who you guys think me and Brent are, but we're not the kind of people that list things we're grateful for on Facebook every day.
No.
That's not a thing that we're up
to. We're not
going
to be doing that.
No.
Don't ask us to.
Don't ask us to, because we're not going to do it. And you'll be embarrassed that you asked us, because we'll be mad.
Yeah.
In any case, that's the news this week.
That's it.
Protect your garden gnomes, because they could disappear at any moment. We are back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Here
we're
going to
be, like, doing it now.
Yep.
So, like, stay tuned for that.
That's right.
Follow us on Twitter. We're going to tweet more, I've decided.
Yes.
Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Tell your friends to do that.
Yeah.
Like us and comment on iTunes so we look popular.
Everything.
Everything that
Come
you,
on,
we've
people.
Been telling you to do, you should be doing.
Yeah.
I know some of you are listening to this and not following us on Twitter or starring
right.
us on whatever you do on iTunes. I don't
yeah.
even know.
Yeah.
So do that.
Yeah.
And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.